Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython Weekly Meeting for August 10th, 2026. 2026. This is a time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. My name is Tim, and I am sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python that is designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to help support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from them at their website, adafruit.com. This meeting gets hosted on the Adafruit Discord. You can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython dev text channel as well as the CircuitPython voice channel there on Discord. The meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time, except when that coincides with a U.S. holiday. In the notes doc, there is a link to a calendar, which you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send notifications about upcoming meetings via Discord. So if you'd like to receive notifications about any changes to the day or time, or the reminder on the day of the meetings, you can ask to be added to the CircuitPythonista's role on Discord. There is a notes document, shared notes document, a Google Doc that accompanies the meeting and recording. You can contribute to the document beforehand. The final notes document will include timestamps so that you can skip around as you view the recorded video. Meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes is what we say here, although in the middle of the summer here with fewer people, oftentimes they'll run a bit quicker than that even, since we do some round robin sections. We will post up the new notes doc for the next week's meeting following the current one and link that here on the Discord, so you can always check the pinned messages in the CircuitPython dev channel throughout the week in order to find the notes doc for the upcoming meeting. And you are certainly more than welcome to leave hug reports and status updates in that doc throughout the week as well. You don't have to wait until Monday to fill those out. The meeting structure, as usual, gets held in five parts. The first part will be community news, a look at all things CircuitPython and Python on hardware in the community. We will review a couple of items that I grabbed out of the wonderful newsletter, Python and Microcontrollers newsletter from today. Then we'll get into the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. That one is a quantitative overview of the entire project. Chance to look at the project by the numbers separate from our status updates. Then we will start our round robin sections. We have hug report section as the first one. This is an opportunity to highlight good things folks are doing. We can take a moment to recognize awesome folks in our community and beyond. Then we have the next round robin, status updates. This one is an opportunity to report what we've been up to. We will go down the list again, take a moment to talk about what we've been up to in the past week and what we'll be working on over the next week. And then lastly, fifth and final part is in the weeds of the meeting. This is an opportunity for more long-form discussions. Those can be items that came out of status updates, or they can be identified ahead of time as topics that we want to go into a more in-depth discussion on and added as such. So that covers how the meeting will go. First up, we'll get into community news. I'll start taking some timestamps here. Let's do this one. So first up in community news, I'll tell you more about the newsletter generally at the end. But first up, item that caught my eye from the newsletter this week was the DEF CON 34 badge. PAX a surprise. Andrew Bunny Huang's mostly open Biochip X1 attendees at DEF CON 34 conference, which is either ongoing or perhaps was over this past weekend, I think, out there in Las Vegas, are going to find something very special on their badge. Andrew Bunny Huang's Biochip X1, a, quote, mostly open, end quote, chip. There are 27,000 badges, which will include the bow and a removable camera module, will get distributed at the event. With the MicroPython port above, this is mentioning above actually in the newsletter, so you'll have to check out the newsletter that got mailed out to you to see the MicroPython port, but that's another wonderful item from this week's newsletter, so just noting that here. Because of that MicroPython port, which was also mentioned, it will presumably be possible to run MicroPython on the DEF CON badge, which is very cool, the bow chip. got a MicroPython port as well, so you can find that one in the newsletter too. Next up, we have CircuitPython Day has been announced for August the 21st, 2026. It's that time of the year. Adafruit has determined that August 21st, 2026 is the snakiest day of the year and designated it CircuitPython Day. Adafruit will have special shows and more throughout the day. You can tag projects with hashtag CircuitPythonDay2026 on social media, and Adafruit will look to highlight them. You can also check out a post which is linked here on the Adafruit blog, which has a tentative schedule with live streams and other programming. And I believe we'll update that as time goes if more stuff gets added. Next up from the newsletter this week was VTOS, a terminal-based hobby firmware. VTOS turns a LilyGo T-Deck into a pocket-sized hackable terminal computer. It's written in MicroPython. It boots into a built-in shell stocked with retro and modern network clients. There are links here to GitHub and YouTube for this project. I will have to check out the video later, but I was looking in the newsletter and reading about this morning and saw some of the screenshots and GIFs and stuff, and this looks like a really cool little device. Very much harkens back to the QBasic editor in my mind, which has a sweet spot in my heart. So a very cool project. I'll definitely be checking this one out. VTOS is what that is. Next up is, let me take a timestamp, using I2C devices with your computer's browser using WebBlinka. WebBlinka allows you to control I2C hardware from the browser using real CircuitPython drivers plus an MCP 2221 or MCP 2221A connected to the computer. Click Connect to grant access, and then Adafruit's Blinka and CircuitPython libraries run unmodified in a Python runtime inside the web page and talk to the chip over web HID. There is no server, nothing to install beyond the browser, and there are links here to Blue Sky, a web page, and to GitHub if you would like to learn more about this. And this one caught my eye this week because I saw, I think is it maybe Pyodide or something like that. There's a few of these, I think, Python runtimes that work inside of the browser, I think backed by JavaScript, if I'm not mistaken, although I haven't looked too close into them. They've popped up a few times, and I've wondered if there's any sort of crossover between our world and theirs, wondered what would be possible, but have never really made the leap myself to look into it. So this is really cool to see that someone has brought Blinka and the CircuitPython driver libraries to be able to run inside of a browser session. So you can interact with a device live right there, connected to your computer with no extra install and setup and stuff, which is very, very cool stuff. Okay, so all of these items came out of the Python on Microcontrollers newsletter, which is a CircuitPython community-run newsletter that gets emailed every Monday. The complete archives are available online at adafruitdaily.com. It highlights the latest on Python, the latest Python on hardware-related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. You can also contribute your own news or projects by emailing cpnews@adafruit.com. We always appreciate contributions from the community for new newsletter items. All right. Next up, and as always, we will give a hug report here to Anne. Thanks to Anne for curating the great set of stuff that we get to pour over each week in the newsletter. And with that, I will bring it down to the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. Let me take a time code for that, and then I'll tell you what this one is. This is a quantitative overview of the entire project. It'll give us a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our status update. We'll talk about the project overall, and then separately discuss the core, the libraries, and Blinka to check in on some stats. So first up, I will tell you about the overall stats here. There we are. So we had, over the past week, 17 pull requests merged by 8 different authors. A couple of names that were newer or less frequent, to my eye, less recognized, at least to my eye, and I didn't do this ahead of time, so I'm quickly doing it here as I stall. Those names this week, so again, these might be folks that are newer contributors or just less frequent contributors, or it may just be the case that I don't happen to recognize their name from these lists as frequently. So those names this week are Wiz Hanna, Danny 1 and Freyer 86. So thanks to those folks, as well as our other authors, including Relic SC, Dan, Scott, and myself. We had 3 reviewers this week, thanks to Scott, Dan, and myself. And issues-wise, we had 9 closed issues by 4 different people, 3 new issues opened up by 3 people, leaving us net would be down by 6 there, actually, yeah. Next up, I will pass it over to Dan, if you're available to tell us about the core, although if not, that's no problem, I can read as well.
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yep.
Good. Okay. So in the core, there were 15 pull requests merged in the past week, which is impressive, by 7 authors. Wiz Hanna and Danny One are new or real or possibly relatively new. And there were 3 reviewers of those pull requests. There are now 14 open pull requests. I closed 1 or 2 that were really old and were not. We're kind of on hold or not making progress, and they can be reopened if necessary. The old ones that are still there are sort of like they could go at any time. And so I don't necessarily want to close them right away. There were 7 issues closed by 2 people and 1 issue opened by 1 person. There are now 759 open issues. There are 8 active milestones. The milestones are the way we keep track of what needs to be done sooner rather than later, or what time sooner or later. There are no open issues on the 10.2.x branch. There are 15 open issues for 10.3.0. There are 40 issues open on 10.x.x. Then there are 14 issues open on the 11 milestone. Those are things that we've deferred, probably because they may be incompatible or there's something we want to do in the next major version. So, and then there are 661 open issues that are long-term. So those are not necessarily going to be fixed soon, but we want to keep that for ever prosperity. And we're up to date on triage. There are no issues that are not assigned a milestone. And that's it for the core.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Next up, I will tell you about the CircuitPython libraries. All of these libraries are hosted on GitHub. They're under 2 main library bundles. We have the Adafruit library bundle with 396 libraries in it currently, and the Community library bundle with 180 libraries in that one, for a total of 576 different libraries that support various drivers for different pieces of hardware or helper libraries to allow you to work on CircuitPython projects at a bit of a higher level than you otherwise would. Across the Adafruit library bundle this week, we had 2 pull requests merged by 2 different authors, thanks to Freyer 86 again, as a new, newer or less frequent contributor this week in library land. We had 2 reviewers, thanks to Scott and myself, and then of the merged pull requests, everything was brand new this week. 2 pull requests were only 1 day old, and that is what we got to this week. That leaves us with 41 pull requests that remain open. The oldest one of those is a draft that's up to 1,453 days, and the newest one is 3 days old at the time of these stats. Issues-wise, for libraries in the Adafruit bundle, there were 2 issues closed by 2 people, 1 new issue opened up by 1 person, leaving us with 777 open issues currently, and there are 2 of those right now that are labeled as good first issues. You can find those, as well as the others, over at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is a website where you should head if you are interested in contributing to CircuitPython on the Python side of things. When you first load that page, circuitpython.org/contributing, you'll find a list of open PRs and open issues. This is a good place to start. If you're interested in reviewing, you can check out that list of open PRs. Click through to GitHub, take a look at the code. If you have the hardware, you can test it out on hardware. But either way, you can look over the code for syntax, spelling, logic, anything like that, and leave a comment on GitHub letting us know what you found when you looked over the code. If you did have hardware and you're able to test it out, let us know how that went as well, and include information about what versions and what specific hardware you used and all that good stuff. If you get comfortable with that process, you like to get leveled up to join the review team that we have on GitHub, which will get you some additional notifications of things as they pop up that are in need of review. We can work with you to add you to that. If you would like to start submitting some changes of your own, you can also do that from the same page. If you click over to the Issues tab and then scroll through that list, you can click through to GitHub to find issues that you can work on. This could be a bug, a fix, or rather a bug that someone has reported that is in need of a fix, or it could be adding a new feature, enhancement, or example, or something like that to a library. We do have a learn guide for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub, and we also always have folks who are around here on the Discord who are happy to help you get started out. So if you would like to help contributing, whether that's reviewing open PRs or submitting some of your own PRs to resolve issues or just to work on something that interests you, then we encourage you to come say hi on the Discord. If you're having any trouble, let us know what issue you're having. There will be somebody there who is happy to help you out. We want everyone to be able to contribute in whatever way works best for them. And then I will leave you with the new libraries of the week. Over in the community bundle, we had a new library for the M5 paper EPD, so an e-ink driver, I believe, is what that one is. And then next up, I will tell you about Blinka. So Blinka is the compatibility layer. This allows CircuitPython libraries, like all the ones mentioned above, to work on single board computers like the Raspberry Pi 5 and similar devices. It was a quiet week in Blinka land this week. No pull requests merged by no authors, and there are 14 pull requests that remain open, ranging from oldest one being, let's say, 726, although it is a bit of an outlier. They drop off quite rapidly after that, and the newest one is down at 2 days right now for open pull requests, and I believe a number of these are still Dependabot updates, which I keep meaning to roll through as I read them, but then promptly forget after the meeting. So I will try to remember to do that as well this week. But that is it for the Blinka stats. So with that, I will kick off the Hug Reports section. As a reminder, Hug Reports is a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I'll start us off, and then we'll go down the list of Hug Reports as they appear in the doc here alphabetically. If you are not present, then I'll read your notes for you. Otherwise, I'll call on you and you can take a minute to read off your Hug Reports. So for me, I'll take a timestamp here. For me, Hug Report goes to JP this week. Thanks for reviewing my guide for the Teenage Engineering Ting. Really appreciate having an extra set of eyes there. And then I will pass it over to Dan next.
All right, so thanks to Lynn Smitka, who works on Pico Game, which we've been hearing a lot about, who's also been working on some slightly more general graphics performance considerations that has a PR in to CircuitPython. Thanks to Scott, who got a bunch of staff for BLE stuff working, and there's a PR that was merged. And thanks to Brent, who gave me some hints on how to use Claude more effectively in various ways. That was very helpful. And that's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Next up, I will take a timestamp and read notes for Toddbot. Toddbot has a Hug Report for me for the EP2350 Ting work. Toddbot says very cool, which I say thank you to that. Yes, I definitely had a lot of fun working on it, so I'm glad folks like that as well. And that's it for Hug Reports. So next up, I will take the timestamp for status updates and tell you about that. Status updates is our time to tell folks what we're up to individually. And again, I'll start, then we'll go down the list as they appear in the notes doc. And when I call on you this time, you can take a couple of moments to tell us what you've been up to since the last meeting and what you'll be doing until the next meeting. And as always, if we have conversations that become too large, we can always bounce those down to in the weeds. So I will kick us off with a timestamp. Last week, the EP2350 guide was published, as mentioned, and then I turned my attention towards a couple of audio things in the core. So one of them was a flanger effect. I submitted that to the core, and that's merged now after a bit of reworking during review, thanks to the folks who reviewed that as well, I should say. Belated hug reports to Toddbot and Relic SE for that, as well as Scott. Also in the core in Audio Land, this past week, I submitted a PR to remove the invert bit clock argument for I2SN. So I2SN support's relatively new. This was an argument that was on there that I added during development, and it turns out that I was kind of mistaken about what was needed for the codec that I had. And this was in fact not needed, and I looked around a bit, and I think like it's theoretically possible a codec could exist that needs this, or that could at least maybe be configured to need this, but it didn't seem like it was very common, so we got rid of that, and if it pops up again, we can always add it back or look into a different way to handle it. But for now, we were able to clean that up a bit some, which is cool. And then after that, I have started looking into a different teenage engineering device. This one uses a NRF52840 as its main brain. And I have been investigating the bootloader on that device and how the power off and reset mechanisms work. And I have started making a CircuitPython board def, which will manage the watchdog and will kind of allow the reset and power off to work, which is a little bit weird on this device because of how the hardware is set up. So I've been doing a bunch of the development using the glasses driver, the LED glasses driver, because that actually is a good stand-in. It has the same main chip. It has a similar crystal going for its timekeeping. And it very importantly, it has very easy to access through-hole soldered SWD pins. So I have that all hooked up to my Raspberry Pi, and I'm able to iterate very quickly. And if I lock it up, it's easy to recover as compared to the actual target device. So I'm getting close to the point where I'm about ready to actually try it on the real device, but I'm still working through stuff on this one where it's a bit safer. So with that, I will pass it over to Dan next.
All right. So a bunch of fixes for 10.3.0. I did CircuitPython 10.3.0. I fixed an MDNS crash. I improved the error messages that you get back when you use an SSL certificate and it doesn't work. This is particularly helpful if you're trying to use like self-signed certificates or something like that, or your own private certificates. And the information was there, it just, we weren't printing it. I'm updating ULAB, which was, our version was pretty old, but there's some various problems that I have to fix on the ULAB side before we can do that update. So I've submitted several PRs to ULAB, and I'm talking to the maintainer as well. I fixed a minor fix on Nordic. We were accidentally not supporting two stop bits on UART. It just, there wasn't implemented properly. That was a really easy fix. Another thing that I did is that we used to do these trial window builds on every continuous integration run of CircuitPython. And the idea of this was to see if you could build the CircuitPython build worked under Windows MSys, which is kind of a Cygwin, MSys 2, which is kind of a Cygwin kind of thing, or maybe it's MinGW, I can't remember. I think we use both of those kind of POSIX imitations that are on Windows. And this was done like 6 years ago, so we could do some builds on Windows. We never documented how to do builds on Windows. It started to bit rot recently because of some version problems, and we don't really want to maintain that. It's not worth it. If you have Windows, you can always use WSL, Windows Subsystem for Linux, which is sort of a Windows, a Linux VM that you can run inside Windows. So we recommend that, and that is documented in the Building CircuitPython guide. So this way we'll just save 20 minutes of time on each CI build. It's done in parallel, but it was always done. So that's turned off. And I've spent several days debugging the BLE workflow. this worked before, but not that well. And lately it was only working on macOS. I was trying to figure out what was wrong, why it wasn't working on Windows, why it wasn't working on Linux. And I enlisted Claude Code to help me. We did a lot of testing, and the results were very odd, and they kept sort of changing out from under us. And when I say us, I don't really mean to anthropomorphize Claude, but it's easier to talk that way. So it turned out, something that I noticed is that we got different results after the computer had gone to sleep, whereas instead of it was from a fresh boot. And it turns out that indeed the behavior of the BLE controller that's on my motherboard was different before and after a sleep, a suspend. This was very confusing and aha. And we tried some other BLE adapters, like I had some plug-in ones that go into USB, and they worked much better. So it seems that this is just a hardware problem, it's not a hardware problem because it actually works under Windows, but it's some issue with maybe the drivers for this particular chip and maybe some flakiness about this particular chip that's handled in the Windows drivers. And that research is still going on, but it means that it's not really our bug, but it's something that people have to watch out for, and I'll document this as needed. And so that's been an interesting experience. I went to Micro Center this morning and bought a couple more Bluetooth adapters. So that's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Dan. And that is it for SaaS updates as well. Next up would be In the Weeds. If we had any topics here, this would be a chance to discuss them. A reminder, that could be longer form stuff or stuff that needs a bit of a back and forth. This week we don't have anything, so we will scooch right on past to the wrap up, and I will go through there once I scroll through it. Yes, there we are. Reminder, this has been the CircuitPython weekly meeting for August 10th, 2026. Thanks to everyone who participated. If you'd like to help support Adafruit and CircuitPython, and those of us that work on CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. The video of this meeting will get released on YouTube at youtube.com/Adafruit, and the podcast will be made available on major podcast services. It will also get featured in the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter. You can visit adafruitdaily.com in order to subscribe to that. The next meeting will be held next Monday at the usual time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. That is on the 17th of August, next week on Monday. The meeting, as always, is held on the Adafruit Discord, which you can join anytime at adafru.it/discord. If you'd like to be notified about the meeting and any changes to the day or time, you can ask to be added to the CircuitPythonista's role on the Discord. So that is it for this week. We hope to see you all next week, and thanks again, everyone.